Morning, everyone. Welcome back. We had a little bit of blip on the radar last week. Caused people to hunker down a little bit. Finally having a little bit of winter, I guess. Let's open with prayer here. Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I just pray, God, today that your truth could be developed, your truth could come forth, Lord God, and touch our hearts today. Help us to hear, help us to listen, help us to receive from your word today, God. Help me to speak it clearly, speak it truthfully, honestly, Lord God. I just pray for your anointing upon what's said. And I pray you'll anoint each one of us that are here, God, that want to follow you and serve you today, that we might be used of the Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're talking about the called. I struggle with that a little bit, that term. I know there's always a calling, people. Nathaniel's heading up the discipleship program here. But I believe in Nathaniel's mind, I've talked with him numerous times, I don't believe it's going to be a thing where you read five books and suddenly you're a disciple. I don't believe that that takes place. There are guys out there who believe that. If you'll just read their books and fill out the little workbook on the back and, you know, afterwards you're a disciple. I look at that like this, I struggle with this. Is there just such a thing as Christians and then there's such a thing as disciples? You know, I mean, I don't know. But maybe in today's message, it might sift that through our mind a little bit. When I became a believer, I didn't want to just be a churchgoer, you know. I didn't get saved in a church. I was out on the street. Some of you probably know the testimony and all that, but I didn't even know where to go to church. Couldn't even find a church. I was overseas. I was in a country that didn't even speak my language. Didn't know where to go. And I always, when I started reading books, I started reading difficult books. And probably books that I shouldn't have read. I probably should have started out with a little bit of pablum before I started on the meat stuff. But, you know, I just didn't have a choice. But all of a sudden, one day it dawned on me that there's such a thing as being a disciple. And it's like you have to really choose to be a disciple, I believe. Jesus said, if any man follows me, let him take up his cross and follow me. So I think that's, and today we're looking at this guy, Elijah. I got the wrong one. I get those two mixed up. Anybody get those mixed up besides me? Because I was just reading a blurb about Elisha before I went back to this, and I got the two names mixed up, sorry. We're talking about Elijah. Elijah's, if you want to remember Elijah, he's the guy that called fire down from heaven. He did it twice, three times, I think. If you go to 2 Kings chapter 1, he called it down and burned up 50 guys just like that. And then they sent 50 more and he burnt them up. So he's a rough guy to handle. You wanted to handle him very carefully. But he was a kind man. Last week or 2 weeks ago, Brad preached about how he helped a widow. Her flour and everything didn't run out, just kept going, and everything just kept going, and she kept eating. God showed compassion to the widow. And, you know, now today we're going to study a chapter of 18 where he gets pretty rugged. He does some pretty rugged things. Now, I thought, well, where'd this Elijah guy come from? Well, you go back to chapter 17, the first verse, it said Elijah the Tishbite, he was a settler in the land of Gilead. There's his background. That's all we know about him. He just came on the scene. You know, I mean, when you get over to Elisha, you get a little bit of background on the guy. You know, he's plowing, he's got a farm, and you know, you don't know much about this Elijah. He just shows up. And he's different than the other prophets. He never wrote a book in the Old Testament. Isaiah did, Jeremiah did, and all the minor prophets, they wrote books or wrote prophecies. But Elijah never wrote anything. He just did things. And he did a lot of things. Then Elisha came along and did more things. Neither one of them wrote a book. So to say that he's just like an Old Testament prophet, you almost have to think, no, he was on a different level than some of those other guys. He was in the now of everything. He was right in the now. He wasn't just telling people about what was going to happen if you don't repent. He was telling people what's going to happen now. What's going to happen now? What's happening right now? What's going on? I think that makes a difference. You need people like that who can tell you what's going on right now. I got to thinking about the man, both of them. I think they spent a lot of time alone, don't you? And I don't mean just alone, I mean lonely. They were just by themselves a lot. And I think we were supposed to kind of lean this towards prayer, and I will. But I think sometimes prayer is more than just talking. You know what I'm saying? I don't know about you, when I'm alone, it's like I'm arguing with God. Do you guys ever do that? Do you ever just argue with him about stuff, talk to him about stuff? I talk out loud even. And, you know, and I listen for a response. And I think sometimes we say our prayers, but do we listen? Are we listening? And if you read chapter 17, chapter 18 about Elijah, it was he would hear the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord would come to him. Not necessarily while he was praying, but I think it happened to a lot of times while he was alone, by himself. I'm just trying to give a little background on this guy, the prophet. Now, our text this morning is in verse 20 of chapter 18, and it goes to the end of the chapter. I don't want to just read every bit of this. I'll let you read that, and I think it'd be worth a read. I'm going to read some of it, and we're going to talk about that. But first, a word from our sponsor. In less than 2 weeks, I leave for Mexico. People asked me a couple days ago, what do you talk about when you go down there? I said, it can be about everything, you know. Sometimes the things you go in, you prepare to go and say, and you get there, and the guy can't even translate for you properly. So it's like you're back to something very simple because he only knows so many English words. You have to be flexible when you go to other countries. I want you to know that. Flexibility is the name of the game. And listening to the Holy Spirit is a very important part too. It's like, what can I say that this guy can translate properly? And what do you want me to say? And you know what I've discovered with God? He's very simple a lot of times. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't get complicated. Now, if you want complicated, you can go to a seminary or a theological school. But I found out that God likes things simple. Simple enough for this person who's the youngest person in the group can understand it and receive it and listen to it and get something from it from God. So anyway, I'm going to Mexico, taking my grandson with me, if he can ever get back from Florida. And I want him to go with me, and we're doing a lot of meetings in a lot of different villages and towns, and we'll be preaching and sharing the gospel there, praying a lot with people. We do a lot of praying for people when we're there. And so I ask for your prayers that you will pray for me and pray for Judah. Pray for the weather so we can get to Indianapolis. Just getting out of Indianapolis might be the biggest event of the time we go, you know. It can be very difficult. So I just wanted to let you know where I'll be. I'll be there from the 23rd of January to the 3rd of February. 10 days we're going to be down there. So pray for us. Pray for our team. Okay, that's enough of the advertisement. 1 Kings chapter 18, and I'm going to read 20 through 24. So Ahab sent a message among the sons of Israel and brought the prophets together at Mount Carmel. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Now let them give us two oxen, and let them choose one ox for themselves, and cut it up, place it on the wood, but put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other ox and lay it on the wood, and I will not put a fire under it. Then you call on the name of your God. You call on the name of your God, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God who answers by far. He is God. And all the people answered and said, that is a good thing. It was a challenge. Now, I don't think Elijah came up with this challenge. I think he'd heard this from God. You understand? Felt like he'd heard this. In those times when he was alone before this, they met him. Ahab had been chasing him. And it was a difficult time. Ahab was an ungodly king. He had a wife, Jezebel. Many of you have heard her. She was an ungodly woman. She was the one that worshipped Baal and got everybody involved in Baal worship. It was a time of confusion, moral confusion. And Elijah was called to speak the word of the Lord into the situation of that time. And like I said, it was a now. He was a prophet for the now. King Ahab had been chasing him, trying to find him, because he told Ahab it wasn't going to rain until he said it was going to rain. I'll tell you. He said, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. So Ahab had been chasing this guy for a long time, I guess close to three and a half years. I don't know. He'd been chasing him a long time, trying to catch him. Wanted to kill him, but I think he had to think about the fact that it wasn't going to rain unless he said so. He was trying to get a hold of him so he could get Elijah to say, let it rain. Well, then Elijah came forward. He came out of hiding and came out and told Ahab to gather these 450 prophets of Baal and 400 prophets of Asherah to Mount Carmel. He took them up to Mount Carmel. And this was what he asked them. This was the thing he said to them. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. You know, something that I learned from this is that Israel didn't just get rid of Yahweh worship. They didn't just put it aside and worship Baal. What they did was they syncretized the true faith. They brought Baal worship in alongside of Yahweh worship. They still had Yahweh worship, but they included Baal worship. You know how we are. We like to cover all of our bases when it comes to God, don't we? You don't have to say yes to that. But that's what happened. It was a syncretized thing. And see, what it was is Yahweh was there to take care of the big stuff. Like if someone invades our land and we need to fight them, we need Yahweh to help us protect us because he's always done that in the past. He protects us. But when it came to crops, rain, having kids, we need Baal. Now, I could draw a real good parallel right there if I was a mean preacher. But I'm not a mean preacher anymore. I used to be. But I want you to know there is a parallel there for all of us to think about. We just don't want to be the kind of people that uses God for the big stuff and take care of everything else with other stuff. You follow what I'm saying? You've got to be very careful about that. God wants to be involved in all of our lives, everything we do, every little thing, every middle thing, every big thing, everything that we do. We were singing about that today, weren't we? Running after me. You know, I was thinking about this message today as we were sitting there, and I as I closed my eyes, it was like I saw Father God running down the road after a lost son. You know that story in Luke 15, right? That's what this is about. God's running down the road after his lost son, Israel. He's running down the road after them. I want you to remember that. God spends a lot of his time running down the road after people. Running down the road after us. Now, Elijah is called for bringing people back to God and helping them to learn to reject Baal. He doesn't want them to continue to worship Baal, so he's trying to get them to, he's bringing a challenge. Elijah knew God wanted to do something. He knew it because he had walked with God. He'd spent time with God. He was listening to God. Not only that, he was reading the local news. He saw what was happening in his country. He saw what was happening around him. We can't just go off in a closet somewhere and hear God, but we also have to be alert and watching and listening and seeing what's going on around us, because God wants to present a challenge. He wants to present a challenge in this generation. He wants to present a challenge in our cities. He wants to present a challenge in our neighborhoods. He wants to present a challenge right where you live. And he wants to use the call to do it. We want to use that word, call. His ears were toward God. He was listening. And, you know, I don't even see where he ever prayed about what was getting ready to happen. All I do realize is that over here when it finally, the miracle finally happened, he just said, "Answer me. Answer me, Lord." Now I look back how he did other things. He'd ask God, he'd say, and the Lord heard his voice. You think the Lord hears your voice? You think you can call on God for something challenging? Something that you can't do on your own? And he'll do it? I think we got to learn to walk there sometimes. I don't think every day, but I think sometimes you have to learn to walk there. You know, it can be as simple as giving your tithe. Did you know that? Sometimes that's a challenge. God says, "Do it and see if I don't open the windows of heaven for you." Oh, you don't like that money talk, do you? But I'll tell you what, in my own personal life, I had to learn that. I got to see God provide for me as I begin to obey that principle of giving regularly and proportionately, giving it, learning to live without a certain percentage of my income and watching God provide for me. You have to do that. That's the challenge. You say, well, what does that do? It increases your faith. It increases your faith for the next challenge that you have to live in. Challenge when there's something in the family that you can't fix. Only God can fix. Listening to God. Developing a heart for God. Don't worry, this will all be over in a little bit. We'll all be downstairs eating and you'll forget about everything I said. I'm just kidding. I know it's got so quiet in here. I thought, Lord, it's quiet. Not even a cough. Here it is, January, and ain't one person coughing. There, thank you. I try to lighten it a little bit because I know this is a little bit heavy. Because I'm telling you, God's going to put you in a place of challenge. If you're called of God, you can expect the challenge. But through your prayer life and through your walking with God and through your spending time listening to God, you're ready for the challenge. You don't even know you're ready until it happens. I don't think Elijah woke up that morning and said, you know, I think I'll go out and set up a pile of wood and put a calf on it and ask God to put some fire on it. No, I think he was listening and he was walking and listening and hearing every step to take. He wanted to see Israel return to God without Baal. Well, here's what happened. I'm going to just recap 25 through 29. I'm just going to tell you what happened there. The prophets of Baal, they put an ox on their big pile of wood. And the next thing they did, they started calling on Baal. They asked God to start, or they asked their God to start answering by fire. Oh, Baal, hear my word. Bring fire down from heaven and answer us. They leaped around the altar. The Bible says they cut themselves and blood gushed out all over everything. Elijah was looking on, kind of mocking them. You know, I know if you mock, you know, you're in trouble. You're a sinner. But he was mocking them, okay? And he got away with it. He said, maybe your God's asleep. Yell a little louder. I mean, can you imagine this? That doesn't give anybody a license here to mock sinful people. All right, but this was their custom to cut themselves. They carried on until about the time of the evening offering, and the Bible says, quote, there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. In other words, God never heard anything. The ox just sat there. It didn't even smolder. Now, I'm going to read what happened here in verse 30 through 39. It says, then Elijah said to all the people, come near to me. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord, which had been torn down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. He reached back into what made them Israel. He reached back in their history so that they would remember who they were. He wanted them to remember who they were. Israel shall be your name. That's what he did. So, with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord, and he made the trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 measures of seed. Then he arranged the wood and cut the ox in pieces. This took some time. And laid it on the wood. He said, fill 4 pitchers with water and pour it on the burnt offering and on the wood. He said, do it a second time. And they did it a second time. And he said, do it a third time. And they did it a third time. And the water flowed around the altar. And he also filled the trench with water. I don't know how much. I did some calculations on how much water that was. It was a lot of water. Now listen, there was a drought, wasn't there? I wonder where they got all this water. It must have been a real sacrifice. They had to obey to do that, and they brought all this water. I mean, it could have been good water to drink. There was a time when people was having a hard time finding water to drink, so they got the water, and they put it on there. Then it came about at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet I think this must have taken about 24 hours because the other ones, they stopped doing their thing at the evening sacrifice, and this one ended at the time of the evening. It must have taken about 24 hours to get all this done. Okay, they had to go find that water, you know. Then Elijah the prophet came near and said, O Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel. He said this out loud so they could hear him. Today let it be known that thou art the God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Verse 37. Answer me, O Lord, answer me, that this people may know that thou, O Lord, art God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt offering. Now listen, it consumed the burnt offering and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. I don't know what was there after it got all done licking up the dust, but there must have been a pretty big hole. Big enough for everyone to see. They got to see. See, that's the purpose of us being willing to take on challenges. so people can see. We live in an unbelieving world. We live in a very unbelieving world. And it depends a lot on its intellect. And sometimes we as God's people can't depend on our intellect. We have to depend on revelation, which does not include intellect. Do you understand that? God has to give us a revelation of what He wants us to do. Most of the time, I'm telling you, everybody in that crowd would not have thought God was going to start a fire on that piece of that ox. God was not going to consume all the wood. Now, we can start a fire that'll consume all the wood, right? How many of y'all seen a fire that will consume stone? I haven't. And how many have seen fire that'll lick up dust? Yeah, I haven't seen that either. So there was something happening here that was very supernatural, and the people had to see that it was God. Folks, I just have to believe that every one of us sometimes or another in our life have to see God, because we're a hard-headed bunch. We're a sinful, hard-headed bunch before we're saved. We're not quite as hard-headed after we're saved, but we still are. And sometimes we just have to see God, don't we? I don't mean a picture of Him or an image of Him. I mean, we've got to see Him in our life. We got to see Him to change our mind. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. It was over 40 years ago this happened. But my wife says, I told you all this, but I told her, I said, listen, I've told them all my stories once or twice. They're probably used to hearing them, and some of them are here that haven't heard it, so I'll tell you this story. Years ago, and on weekends, I used to go to Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, and I would preach on the streets up there and pass out tracts. And there was a young soldier that came to the place where we were at there one night, and he was a nice kid. I liked him. I can still see his face, and we talked and visited, and I was trying to explain to him about God, and he said, well, I really don't need God in my life. He said, I like to run. And he said, when I run, I can run and never have to stop. I only stop because I want to. I never get tired. And I said, how in the world do you do that? He said, well, he named this spirit. He said, I call on this spirit, and this spirit comes and gives me this supernatural strength to run. And he said, I don't want to serve Jesus because I like this spirit in my life. Now, I know you say, wow, that's weird. Go to a military base, you'll see all kinds of weird, okay? I mean, there's all kinds there. But this guy would run, and all of a sudden, I could hear in his voice, he was challenging God. He was challenging God. And I thought, uh-huh. I had this boldness come on me, and I said, well, I'll just pray for you, and that'll stop. And I heard myself say that. I'm thinking, Lord, what have I gotten myself into here? I bet Elijah felt that same way. The Lord who answers by fire, hears himself saying this. He's probably thinking, Lord, have mercy. Is this going to happen? Well, that's what happened to me. And I prayed for that young man, and I gathered the people around. He let us pray for him. Because he felt like nothing was going to happen. We prayed around him, and he stayed until the time we packed up everything to leave to go back to the college. And as we started to leave, I saw him take off running out there on that military base. And so we were in the van as we left the base. We were praying for this young man. I said, God, we want him to know you. And we left, and we were gone that whole week down to the 90 miles away at the college. Came back the next weekend, and we arrived at the little building there where we had our time together, and this guy was sitting on the steps. I thought, oh, no, he's come to gloat. Well, that wasn't what it was at all. As soon as we got out of the van, he said, I want to accept Jesus. I said, what happened? He said, I ran 5 minutes, and I couldn't run another inch, he said. I just wore completely out. He said, I know it was your God, Jesus, that did that. And he saw Jesus. He saw God. You know, many times people need, look at what Jesus did. He fed the 5,000. What a challenge that was. He raised the dead. What a challenge that was. Jesus constantly had challenges coming into his life. Why? So that the people might believe. You don't just necessarily believe because you see a miracle, but it does something in your subconsciousness that you know that there is a God. You know that there is a living God. And someday when you swallow your pride and reach the end of your rope, you might reach back and say, the Lord, He is God. That's what they did here. They gave up their God. They said, the Lord, He's God. The impossible became possible and the people saw it. God puts those that are called into impossible situations so that the world around them can see the true God. The people saw. They fell on their faces. You know what happened? It says the people saw it and the people cried out, the Lord, He is God. Guess who didn't cry out? The prophets of Baal. They didn't cry out. People can get themselves so hardened, so taken down another path that they no longer can see God. They're just, I think the Bible's got a name for that, and I can't think of it right now. Maybe you can think of it. But they're hardened. Their hearts are hard, and they can't receive. We don't want to get to that point. And anyway, prophets of Baal did nothing, and the next thing you know, Elijah's escorting them down to the river and he's slaying them, he's killing them. Why would he do such a mean thing? Well, he didn't want them poisoning the minds of the people again. Okay, this is Old Testament. This is the way they did things. You know, they get them out of here. You know, the thing about you, you know, some people used to say to me, Jeff, do I got to give up all my old friends when I become a Christian? No, not if you want to hang around that and just end up gradually convincing yourself that that's the way to live. Don't worry. If you keep living for Jesus, your friends will give you up. I know that from experience. I spent a lot of lonely days in my room after I became a Christian in the military. All the guys used to hang out with me didn't hang out with me anymore. They didn't want to. God desires to free the people from their idolatry and bring them to faith. And He uses His servants to do this. He uses you. If the natural world around us does not convince us of the goodness and the power and the creativity of Almighty God and the love of God, if it doesn't convince us, then God has to do something supernatural to get your attention, to bring you back to Him. Like I said, Jesus was constantly faced with this. Paul and the apostles, they were placed in jail. They didn't know how they was going to get out, and God had to give them opportunities to get out. Next thing you know, they're going to talk to the leaders and to talk to the princes and to talk to... They were used of God. They were called and used of God in this way. If you accept the call to being His disciple, you can expect a challenge to come up in your life. And the way you prepare for those challenges is through a life of prayer, spending time with God, listening to God. God wants to talk to you. But some of you may find that strange. You know, it's like, I talked to God, but I didn't know He wanted to talk to me. Yeah, just say, what do you got to say to me this morning, God? What are we going to do today? You know? God desires to make Himself known to those around you, and He's glorified through your life. Jesus and the apostles' lives were powered with prayer. It's what prepared them when the next challenge came. I want to read a verse out of James 5. It's about Elijah. You probably know that verse, some of you. It's where James brings up Elijah in his letter that he wrote. Let's see, it's 16. It says, therefore, confess your sins to one another, pray for one another, so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah, see, he thought of Elijah. The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Now he's thinking about Elijah and how what he did was very... Elijah turned the whole nation back to God. You think there's someone in this room that might be wanting to do that or needing to do that? Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. I want you to take note of that. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was just like you and me. See, we sometimes think these guys were supermen, but they were just men that listened to God and loved God and wanted to serve God, just like you and I, and they were willing to step out and do something God was telling them to do that sounded impossible. Well, the story in 1 Kings 18, it ends with rain coming after 3.5 years. And I thought verse 41 was kind of interesting, where Elijah tells the king, he says to King Ahab, I'll try to find it here and read it to you. Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of the roar of a heavy rain." And you know what Ahab did? He didn't argue with him. He just saw fire fall from heaven and consume everything there on the ground. Who's going to argue with Elijah when he tells you to do something, huh? Ahab no longer wanted to kill him. He just went, and I like the next verse. It says, "So Ahab went up to eat and drink." He took off. He did what Elijah told him to do. And sure enough, it rained. A heavy rain. The completion of a challenge doesn't guarantee the results. I wrote this down. This is the end of it. The completion of a challenge. You know, Ahab saw all this and he still was an ungodly man. Hear me? Doesn't guarantee the results. But it's God's way of revealing himself to sinful people and to us in the hope that we will repent and turn our hearts towards him and believe. You know, when the old man ran down the road to that wayward son, there was no way the old man could guarantee that that son would be what he wanted him to be. But he was doing everything he could to bring that boy home. You know? And I just want to say to you today, I think God has been running down the road towards some of you today. Maybe he's been running down the road toward you for many years. He's just inviting you to come home. He's not going to, hopefully he doesn't bring fire down from heaven and burn up your car or something like that to get your attention. But I hope he will convince you that he's real and that he loves you and he wants you to be his own. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for your perseverance in our lives, how you never give up, Lord. You didn't give up on Israel. You did everything you could, Lord, to bring them to you. I pray today, Lord, as we receive communion, as we receive the elements of communion, that the Holy Spirit will convict us and convince us of those things, Lord, we need to lay aside, we need to put aside those things that can entangle us and keep us from loving you and wanting to hear your voice and wanting to obey you, even in the slightest things, Lord God. Lord, you have people around every one of us, Lord, that need to know you. Help us to be willing to just speak to them and share with them the truth and pray for their situation. Pray for the things in their life, the needs in their life, so that they can see your hand working in their lives, Lord God, that they might know you. Bless your people today, God, with strength and vision, revelation of you, Lord God, I pray. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, we have communion here on every side, back in the corners here. You're welcome to take that today. It's a believer's communion, so you're welcome to have it with your family and friends and whoever you'd like to have it with. God bless you.